peace. We all want it, don't we? We all would like to have some tranquility in our life. The biblical definition of the word that Paul uses here is a state of national tranquility, harmony between individuals, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Of the Messiah's peace, it speaks of the way of peace, which is salvation. Of Christianity, it is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing of God and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort it is. The blessed state of devout and upright men after death. Let me read to you that one more time when it talks about of Christianity. It's the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. I may not know a lot this morning, but I know I'm saved because of Jesus Christ. I may not know exactly how all my life's going to pan out, but I do know that when the pan's panned out, I'm going to be in glory. Amen? Are you with me this morning? I can have that peace. It means that so because of that I know that I am Christ and Christ is mine, that I can fear nothing from God and that I can be content with my earthly lot, whatever it may be. Peace. I like it, don't you? I'd like to have it, wouldn't you? I want to share with you just some things this morning quickly and then we'll go home. I want us to look that in order to achieve peace, we've got to understand that there is a problem with peace. Most of the time, we as God's people are not in a state of tranquility, are not in a state of harmony, are not in a state of security. We're not in a state of contentment because we have something that rules our life. Fear. We're afraid of tomorrow. We're afraid of what might happen. We have fear of the doctor's appointments and what they might have. We have fear of what's coming. There's a lot of people, and it happens every day in the midst of a conversation. I'm afraid of what's going to happen if this world keeps going the way it's going. Well, here's what I want to say, and I mean, I have to remind myself of this constantly too. Is that if the world keeps going the way it's going, Jesus is coming soon. Yeah. Amen? So I don't need to fear that because He's coming. He's coming to get the church. I heard a man say this and actually talked with a gentleman about this yesterday. That there is a mass immigration or a mass migration of the Israelite people, the Jewish people, back to Jerusalem. God is drawing them. I believe it was on Fox News just this week that since the thing had happened in the Islamic terrorist attack that happened in Paris, that thousands are leaving Paris and leaving France and coming back to Jerusalem. You know what's happening? God's setting the stage in order for the voice of the archangel and the trump of God to sound and for the church to be called out of here. So you and I can be at peace that here very soon Jesus is coming to take us home. Amen? But we need to understand that fear will rule us. Now, what fear does is when you're afraid, you begin to get discouraged, don't you? You begin to be afraid of the outcome of some situation. You're afraid of what might happen in some circumstance. And you begin to fear a lot of things that may not happen. You've heard me say this, but 85% of what we worry about never happens. Amen? I mean, that gives us 15% of what we do worry about does happen. Amen? And so that kind of helps me to know, amen, that I don't have to worry about all this stuff I worry about. Amen? Because most of it, the majority of it, is not going to happen. But we fear this stuff. And when we begin to fear what may happen, could happen, possibly might end up happening, but we don't know. know for sure, but there's 85% chance it won't happen, but we worry about it, then when we look at what we're afraid of, it begins to discourage us. And when we're discouraged, we start looking down. And when we start looking down, we begin to doubt. Amen? And when we begin to doubt, we begin to doubt what is true. Amen? We begin to doubt. When circumstances have come in your life, and you think, well, if I was a Christian, maybe you do something. Maybe you have done something. And it's not Christian-like. Anybody ever sin in here? Raise your hand. I'm glad there's some honest people in the world. You know, you do something and you think, man, I'm a Christian. I ought not to do that. You ever done that? You ever been that way? Am I the only one? Well, then let me preach to myself. We end up beginning, and so when we do that, and we get discouraged, don't we? I mean, that's what happens. And then we begin to doubt. And you may say, well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't have acted that way. And then the next thing that happens is you begin to think, well, am I? Did I? And here's what happens when you begin to doubt. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. You hesitate and you stand still. Amen? Now listen. You listen to me. You watch any National Geographic show about lions in Africa. Who do they get? The ones that stumble, the ones that hesitate, are the ones that are caught and eaten. Amen? I said, preacher, what are you talking about? When you and I begin to doubt, and we begin to doubt the Word of God, and we begin to doubt the truth of God, then it will cause us to hesitate. Now, let me give you just a little insight. We are in a heavy spiritual battle. Revelation tells us that Satan knows he's got but a short time. And so he has come out with full wrath against us, God's people. And so in this spiritual battle, we're supposed to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we're supposed to fight daily with it. But if I doubt what it says, I'll be hesitant to use it. Amen? And if I hesitate in battle, guess what happens? My enemy is able to get in a lick and knock me backwards and cause me not to be able to go forward and continue in the fight. You with me? Are you with me? And so what happens with peace is we don't have peace because we begin to have fear. Fear to discouragement. Discouragement to doubt. And then doubt will lead us to defeat every time. When we stop listening and trusting in the Word of God, then we begin to go down the road of defeat. This book is a victorious book. Amen? They've tried to burn every copy of it. I've still got one. Amen? They've tried to take it from people's hands, but they've been unable to erase its words from their hearts. There's the story of a man in a foreign country, a preacher, and he preached and he preached and he preached. And they didn't want him to preach. And they threw him in jail. But they let him take his Bible. There's a mistake. And so while he was in the jail cell, he preached every day. And every day he read the Word of God. And every day the Word of God spoke afresh and anew to him while he was in prison. And he would preach. And the prisoners down the hallway would listen. And they would him to pray for them, and he would get saved. And so the prison guards decided, we've had enough. They busted the light bulb in his cell. They gouged out his eyes so that he couldn't read. They cut out his tongue so that he couldn't speak. And they boarded up the window so that he was in the darkest place he could have ever been. The man died some years later. And when they opened up the door to his cell, written all across the walls of his cells was the Word of God. And one of the gods with peace. But even though that problem may be great, the provider is even greater. The Bible tells us, listen, let me share with you the partner of peace first, okay? This is fresh off the wheel right now. Every time you read about peace, every time Paul says, I want peace to be unto you, guess what comes first? Grace. Grace is that sufficient and overpowering act of God that gives to us that which we did not deserve. Amen. I deserve hell. I don't know if anybody else will admit it, but I know I did. But guess what? I'm not going to get hell. You know why? I've been given grace. And when God extended grace, guess what He extended with it? Peace. Every time you find peace, you'll find grace coupled up in the beginning. Before peace can come, grace can come, which is going to lead me right on into where I want to go this morning. God wants you to experience the sufficient grace of God, the supply of the grace of God. He wants you to know that His grace will supply all your needs. It's sufficient for all your needs, and His grace is greater than all of your sin. And once you experience God's grace, then you can experience God's peace. You're here this morning, almost every one of you, raise your hand. I got something going on in my life. Unspoken prayer request. I need to pray about it. You've got something going on in your life you're too ashamed to tell other people about. Maybe there's some hidden sin in your life and you're too afraid to be open about it, but God knows about it. Ain't no need to try to hide it from Him this morning. He already knows. As a matter of fact, you're trying to figure out how you got here, why you are here, and I'm here to tell you you're here because God knew what I was going to preach because He told me what to preach, and so He brought you here so that you can know that He knows what you know and nobody else does. You understand that? He knows every detail of mine and your life. He knows what you're struggling with. He knows the storm you're enduring right now. He knows your strength may be waning. He knows that your vigor may be decaying. But He also knows that with grace, He can pour out upon you that which will give you strength to carry on. And when grace comes, peace be partnered up with you. Amen? The partner of peace. I want us to look at the provider of peace. This is going to be short and sweet. It's God. You can't find peace through money. You can't find peace in a horizontal relationship. There is not a woman, there is not a man, there is not a child that you can be a parent of that can provide for you the peace that your body and your soul longs for. And you say, well, why can't I find it in a relationship? Because let me tell you something. A man's a man and a woman's a woman. And we were different from the very beginning. And you can't put two critters of different ideals and thought processes and put them in a house and expect peace and tranquility 100% of the time. Amen? That's just the way that it goes. You say, preacher, I want proof of it. I've got a cat over there at the house that outweighs the dog I've got at the house. And when I put that cat and that dog together, there's a battle that ensues to the point to where the mighty hand of the preacher comes down and says, that's enough, and the cat gets tossed outside, and the dog gets put in the corner, and then there's peace and tranquility when they're separated. They're two critters. They're two different kinds of critters. Listen, you cannot find it. You cannot find it in a relationship. You cannot find it in money. Why? Because what happens when there is no money? You have no peace. What happens if there's no way to make money? You have no peace. You can't find it in material things. You know why? Material things lose their value. Material things lose their luster. Material things lose their ability to keep us intrigued. I mean, think about it for just a moment. Let's take a child, for example. A child gets a toy for Christmas. By the end of February, it wants another toy. Everybody's afraid to say amen. But it's a true thing. It's a true thing. You know why? Because you can't find peace, tranquility in a materialistic object. The only person that can provide peace to you is Almighty God. The only way that peace can be provided to you is for you to be head over heels in love with Him, for you to go to Him for everything, for you to come to Him when you're in need and when you're not in need, and you just rest assured that you're in His hand and that you are going to be protected and taken care of, and that whatever comes your way, you'll be able to deal with it through the grace of God and the peace of God, the provider of peace. Now, let's look at types of peace. You can have peace with God, and when you have peace with God, then you have peace of God. Peace with God. All right, you're here this morning. Now listen to me. If you're saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know for a fact you're saved.
Amen. Amen.
No doubt in your mind, you're saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's wonderful. According to verse number 20, through Christ on the cross, He reconciled God to man and made peace between man and God through the power of His cross. He shed His blood on Calvary. When you say, I'm saved, that means this. You have peace with God over your sins. Amen. God looks at you and He does not see you in your sin, but He sees you clothed and He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. When He looks at me, He sees Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know what I would do if He had to see me. I would flee His presence if He saw me. I'll be honest with you. I may be a preacher, but I still am a sinner saved by grace. I still have the opportunity and can still have the occasion to mess up and make a mistake. But thanks be unto Almighty God that when He sees me, He doesn't see my mistake, because I'm at peace with Him because I've been by the cross.
Amen.
Now, not every one of you in here said you know that you're saved. Now, I don't know who said yes and who didn't say anything. But here's what I want to ask you. If you had to stand before God today, and you had to answer for your sin, you would not have anything to say that could allow you to get into heaven. When I stand before Him, and those that are saved by His grace stand before Him, when He says, why should I let you in? There's only one word that's going to get me in. Jesus. I know I can't work there. I can't work to get there. I can't build a ladder to make myself there. I don't have the righteousness to get me there. But I'm at peace with God this morning because Jesus Christ has washed me in His blood, saved me by His grace, filled me with peace with God. Now, I'm at peace with God over sin. Are you at peace with God over your sin? Are you right now at peace with God? Does that mean that you're saved? Now listen. They sometimes, as Christians, Satan keeps bringing it up, doesn't he? That makes me mad, don't you? I wish we had a mute button we could hit him with. Amen? Sometimes I wish I could just give him his old Foghorn Leghorn said that I could hit him right in the kisser. Amen? And hush him up.
Yeah.
It's all right to smile, relax a little bit. God's going to do something in your life this morning. You're tense. It's making me. When Satan brings it up, the only thing we can say is, Satan, I'm at peace with God. Now, being at peace with God over your sin doesn't mean that you have condoned whatever has happened in your life. There has to be a contrite spirit about you. I hate that happened. I hate that was evident and present in my life. But God's forgiven me, and He's washed it away, and now I'm white as snow by Jesus Christ's blood shed on Calvary. I'm at peace with God. Now listen. You can have peace with God today if you don't. A some reoccurring sin keeps coming up. Come get it. Nail it to the cross. Put it under the blood. Get rid of it. Don't carry it around anymore. You also have to be at peace with God, not only over sin in our life, but situations in our life. Now I'm going to get real with you people. Okay? Because I don't think that preaching up here where it doesn't apply is any good. But there's times when we as Christians, we're not at peace with God, are we? Some tragic situation has happened in your life. Maybe you've lost a loved one. and you're not at peace with God over it. Maybe some illness has come into your family and you're not at peace with God. Maybe your heart's been broken and you haven't. Now listen, this is Christian people that I'm talking to. And this is Christian attitude that I'm talking about. He said, how do you know? Because I've been there. When you say, God, if you are love and if you love me, how in the world did you let this happen? How could this carry on like it did? If you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. Ever been there? If you had to just tarried your coming, if you had come in and done some of it, and you're not at peace with God, let me tell you something. Now, before I go any further, I want you to understand what I'm preaching. I believe the Holy Ghost is coming down in this night. When you are at peace with God over a situation in your life, it doesn't mean that you're telling God, I appreciate that. Because I'll be straight honest with you. There's been situations come up in my life. Let me tell you a little something. And since she's not here, I'll say it. In the summertime, my little girl, when she was real ill and she'd stand in the pews and she'd look back at y'all and grin at you and you grin back at her, you know what I saw? Bruises on the back of her arm. You know what those bruises were from? Needles that I had to put in there and give her her insulin. And I want to tell you something. It took me a long time to be at peace with God over that, because for 9 months I prayed and I said, God, this is one thing I don't want to happen to her. And guess what happened? She became a diabetic. And I'm at peace with this now. That God knows what He's doing, and I don't. But here's what I still tell God. I'm at peace with your pal, but I still don't like it. Amen? I'm 33 years old, and a couple of weeks ago, I needed to ask my dad a question. But my dad went on to be with glory. My dad died with cancer. And you would think, as a 33-year-old man, what would you need to ask your daddy? Sometimes we just need our daddy's advice. Amen, men? I mean, at times when you need to build something, want to build something, at least for me, that I want to know how you put that rascal together, I needed to ask my dad. I just needed a man-to-man talk with my dad. He wasn't there. Listen, I'm at peace. God knew what He was doing. God knows what He's doing. God had a perfect plan and His hand was perfect in what He done. But it doesn't mean that I like the fact that I've got to go to Mary Chapel Cemetery and look at. I don't like the fact that when my daughter was with me when I killed a deer this past fall, that I wish my dad would have been able to see a picture of it. But instead, all we had to do was me and her talk about how her papa would have liked it. I don't like it. But I'm at peace. God knows what He's doing. You with me this morning? You're here this morning and something's happened in your life. And it's got you all bent out of shape. You hit and miss in your prayer life. Why? You're mad at God. You hit and miss in your church attendance. Why? You're mad at God. I sat down with a good friend of mine. And he began to share with me the burdens on his heart. And I asked him, you listen to what, because this is getting for real. I said, have you ever told God you forgive him? He folded his arms, he looked at me and he said, why would I have to tell God I forgive him? I said, you're not mad that his plan didn't match up to your plan? Are you not mad that what he decided needed to happen isn't what you wanted to happen? Aren't you mad that what took place in your life was not the dream that you set out for and hoped for when you were a young man, and now here you are and things have come the way that they have, and the road's took some curves, and it's been through some valleys, and you've had to endure some storms that you didn't, and the only one that you can blame is the fact that it was in God's plan and not your plan. And when was the last time you said, God, I forgive you, that my plan didn't add up to your plan, and that I've been mad at you? I forgive you. He said, man, that's the most outlandish thing I've ever heard before in my life, me telling God I forgive him.
Well, he ought to forgive me. And I said, well, here's your little piece of advice, old pal. He does forgive you. And he does love you. But in order for reconciliation to take place, both sides have got to be forgiven. So you got, he called me about a month later and he said, happened today. I said, what? He said, God said, if you don't come and we don't get this right, life's going to get a lot worse. And he said, and I just went up there and laid an altar and told him, I forgive him. He said, I told him I didn't like him, but I did tell him I forgive him. You still with me this morning?
Yeah.
You have to be at peace with God over situations in your life. Let me tell you something. What you and I see is not the big picture. What you and I see is segments of time. And the fact of it is, we see more of what has happened than what's going to happen. Amen? I mean, let's be honest. Alright, men only. If you would have known what you know now when you were 16 years old, would there not have been some different decisions made?
Amen.
You know why? Because we know more about what has happened than what's coming. And you know what God does? God saw the day that you cried your first cry when you were in the operating room with your mama. And He knows exactly where you're going to be when you breathe out your last breath, wherever it may be. And He knows every minute of every day of every year that is in between those. And what He's doing, He's taking you from that baby crying in that operating room or that delivery room to taking you to that funeral parlor where you'll take it, where you'll be laying your last time down to be laid in rest. And He knows what needs to be done to take you from that baby to that saint who's going to glorify Him in all that's done. Amen? I had a young boy look at me a couple of weeks ago, right before Christmas. We were doing push-ups and we were doing sit-ups. And he looked up at me and he said, this hurts. And I said, yeah, I know. And he said, why do you want to hurt me? Because I made you pain. That's what I thought. I said, because I know what the end result's going to be, son. I know what you have to go from being here to being there. We come back after Christmas. You talk about me and Ugly to them. We took 2 weeks off break. We come back first day in my gym class. I said, all right, let's gather around a circle. And one of them said, you're not going to make us do this. I said, I am. I said, I'm not going to stand over you and make you do it, but I will say this, if you don't, your grade reflects it. And one of them said, you're going to make us do this. Why are you making us do this? Because you tell me this is what you want. I'm trying to get you there. And sometimes it hurts a little to go from point A to point B. We say, I want to be closer to God. We say, I want God to be in my life. But we don't see what has to take us from point A to point B. But He does. And there may be valleys, there may be mountaintops, there may be hurt, there may be discouragement, there may be times where we feel like we would be better off just to give up the fight and carry on. But God says, I know what I'm doing. We have to be at peace with Him in our situations. You see, that's where the biblical definition of peace comes in. And I'm at peace with God because I know whatever, as the song says, whatever my lot may be, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. God wants us to be at peace with Him. Not just in salvation and over sin, but over every situation in our life. Say, preacher, that's the situation in my life that are messed up. Oh, you. I know. If you would have told me in August of 1999, when my mom and dad pulled off the campus of Gardner Webb University, that 16 years later, I would be standing in a pulpit preaching the gospel and would have been in the same pulpit for 12 years, I would have horse laughed you. And there has been some times where I have took God into some ungodly places, where I have took God through some ungodly circumstances. But I want to tell you that I finally said, why did appreciate where I am now. Because if there's anybody else in here, anybody in here that is the least qualified to do what I'm doing this morning, it's me. But God saw fit to call me anyway. And by His grace, I'm not dead. I'll just put it that way. You're here this morning, there's some situations in your life you need to ask God for. You have to have peace with God over those situations. The Bible also talks about number two, and then I'm done.
Miss Nikki, Miss Becky, you get ready to play something. There is also the peace of God in our life. The peace that when difficulty comes, you say, it's all going to be okay. God's got this too. Can I share something with you? The situation right now that was a tragedy in your life, come probably unexpectedly, it surprised you, didn't surprise Him. Caught you off guard, didn't catch Him off guard. He knew it was coming. People that we're probably burdened with this morning that are in hospitals or in other places that are sick and people that are not here, let me tell you something. It didn't catch Him off guard. It didn't catch Him by surprise. He knew it was coming. And so you and I can know that we can have the peace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, the peace of God that can rule and reign in our heart, the peace of God that says, I know it's going to be all right because I'm in His hand. And let me tell you something. If you're in His hand, guess what else is in His hand? Everything you've got needed. Little man right here, God's got him in His hand. Because He lives, he can face tomorrow. Because He lives. That's the peace of God. I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I know who's going to be with me tomorrow. I don't know what's coming 10 years down the road. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you a little personal thing. I want to live till I die. I want to walk my daughter down the aisle when she's 70. Traipsed around yesterday morning for a little while with her in the woods. I want to be able to do that. She asked me the other night when we was going down the road, and she said something about she wanted to kill an elk one day, and I didn't think this through, and I've learned a lesson since Friday not to do this again. And I said, if you still want to kill an elk when you graduate high school, I'll take you to kill one. All right, I'm graduating. That's what she said. And then I began to wonder, am I going to do that? But then I got to thinking, I hope that I'm able to do that when that time comes. I want to live till I die, don't you? I want to be able to do. It would thrill me none the less to die in a pulpit. But I want to die preaching just as hard when that time comes as I'm preaching now. That's a fear I have. I don't know how my end's going to come. But I'm at peace. However it comes, I'm going to be with Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Am I helping you this morning?
Yes.
But let the peace of God rule. A lot of times we let circumstance rule, don't we? A lot of times we let situations rule, don't we? We let emotion rule, don't we? We don't get to be at peace because we let other things dictate our peace. Let me tell you something. And I believe this, and what I'm about to say is not... I'm not being derogatory towards our country, but our country used to be, you didn't mess with us. We're America. Amen? Don't start anything with us, because if you do, you will regret it. Amen? I mean, that's the attitude. I mean, proud of being American. I mean, that was why. I mean, even Japan said, I'm afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant, and we unleash on them. But that America is not the same America as God. Amen? And the reason being is because we have kind of gotten away from, not kind of, but we have gotten away from what we ought to be as a people. And we don't have, I'll be straight honest with you. I have less trust in our government now than I've ever had. You don't have to say amen, it might convene you.
has ever tore him up. Nothing that ever has took place in my life has ever caused him to wring his hands. Nothing that has ever took place in the whole landscape and the time of this existing earth has God ever wiped the sweat of his brow and said, what are we going to do about this one? Of God ruling in our life. Not emotion, not circumstance, but peace. Peace. Two things I've done right here. Please, you'll come to the piano number. Let the peace of God allow it. John 14:26. I didn't give you any scripture that I had outlined out. This has been totally different than I ever, last time I preached it, but I hope it's been beneficial to you. John 14:26. John 14:1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You've got to decide to live. Now, I told you at the beginning, God wanted to do a work in your life. So right here today is what you're going to have to ask yourself. Are you willing to let God rule and let His peace rule in your life? That doesn't mean you've got to like everything. Maybe what you need to do this morning is come up here, kneel down in this altar, and say, God, I forgive you for my love when it's gone on and I didn't want it to go on. God, I forgive you for that tragedy that took place in my life. And he said, listen to me. It may be hard. It may be difficult. But it will liberate you. And it will let peace come to you when you are finally at an understanding. God knows what He's doing. He knew it then. He knows it now. He'll know it tomorrow. I preached on Wednesday night on the mighty hand of God. And I said this. God's hand is perfect. His peace is perfect. Everything He does is perfect. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. That's a temporal peace. Romans 8:28. But we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. God right now is wanting peace to rule in your heart. And so what He is wanting to do is for you to come and let peace reign over you. We're at peace with God because we've been justified by Christ in faith. So we have peace with God over our sins. But we need peace with God over situations that come up in our life. Maybe you're here this morning and say, God, I need your help and I want you to know I forgive you. Because every one of us in here at some point in time said, God, you didn't have to let that happen. Maybe you're here this morning and say, God, I need your peace in my life. I need the peace of God in me. I need that to rule in me.